Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ormodo. Welcome to Health Chat. Each year on December 1st, the international community commemorates World AIDS Day. Advocates say it is an opportunity for people worldwide to unite in the fight against HIV, to show support for people living with HIV, and to commemorate those who have died from an AIDS-related illness. As we are approaching World AIDS Day this week, we look back at some progress and remaining challenges in the fight against HIV/AIDS. So first, we travel to Kenya, where a VOA reporter here on board says there is a sex education that is empowering communities. Take a listen.
All right. Oh, what are we talking about today?
Sexual health.
Ooh, what is sexual health?
Not even that. I'll just tell you why I wanted to.
Nini Washera and Karen Lucas are known as the sex queens of Nairobi. In a rather conservative country, they co-host a popular podcast called The Spread. The project is aimed at opening dialogue about sexuality, providing information on sexuality to people of all ages, focusing specifically on the youth. The platform kicked off in 2015 after Lucas and co-presenter Washera noted that no one was having conversations with the youth about sex. There was a platform on the continent, and in Kenya specifically, for a sexuality-based talk show.
It's the way we were raised, and it has a lot to do with religion and the religious beliefs that are pushed upon us and being told by our elders that certain things are wrong. But I think it's changing. I think there's a new wave and a new generation of people who are a lot more open. And if we can sort of spearhead that in Kenya, then we're very happy to do that. But it's about unlearning all of the things that we've been told are bad or taboo.
A wide range of topics are discussed on the show, from sexual health, body image, pornography, and the dangers associated with sex and sexual abuse, to HIV and sexually transmitted diseases.
There's many things that can be avoided. Teenage pregnancy, the spread of and rise of HIV amongst our children, sexual abuse. If we're having conversations with our children about sex and sexuality, then all of these things can be avoided or can be reduced in our country.
29-year-old Kathy Sonia is an ardent listener. Growing up, she struggled with her sexual identity. She had no one to talk to about it.
A lot of us are raised to believe that sex is sort of more of a private issue. It never comes across to our parents talk to us about sex. That never happens. And so as kids, we grew up believing that that's just a taboo.
She says the show has helped her understand her sexuality.
At the end of the day, the podcast is informative. It gives you informed information or informed knowledge. So at the end of the day, the teenager or the child is aware that that sex is okay at the end of the day, that it is not a taboo, it is not something to be ashamed of, it is normal, it is just like eating.
The Kenya Film and Classification Board is the government agency mandated to regulate the creation, broadcasting and distribution of films in the country. The Kenya Information and Communications Act empowers this agency to promote national values and morality. Its CEO, Ezekiel Mutua, says podcast produced in Kenya falls under the board's mandate. He says he supports the spread, but insists that morality should be maintained. As long as the podcast does not promote homosexuality, he is fine with it.
There are levels that could create an offense. Discussions about sexuality in itself is very healthy. I think we need to provide these platforms for guys to talk about it. We can't continue burying our heads in the sand and assume that the subject of homosexuality is not happening in Kenya. It is happening. So I encourage the conversation. My problem would be people who are in it should not use it to create the misleading information that this is the norm or this is what should be in Kenya. I think if they're discussing the challenges, if they want to find help, if they want to find confidence in discussing and finding solutions among themselves, I have no problem.
The spread continues to channel sex-positive messages. The presenters say they will continue to support and promote young people's healthy sexual development through their broadcasts. Rael Ombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
From east to south, we now travel to South Africa with Anita Powell with this report on addressing HIV/AIDS among teens.
Okay, as you can see now.
Nampumelelo Simulane sees herself as an average teenager. She loves to cook and loves to spend time with her family and girlfriend. She also has HIV. That last fact makes her part of a growing demographic in Africa, where the United Nations says AIDS is now the top killer of teenagers. The 19-year-old Soweto resident, who was diagnosed with HIV at 13 and believes she was born with the virus, says adolescence and AIDS are a double whammy. But, she says, her generation knows more about the virus than their elders did, thanks to aggressive educational programs. But, she says, knowing the importance of antiretroviral drugs did not stop her from rebelling.
At first, it was just something I didn't know that would hurt me or anything. I was just like, okay, it's HIV, I'm going to live. I'm going to live on ARVs and I'm going to be fine. But as time went by, things started to change, and I do not know why. Maybe it's because I was growing up and starting to feel different now that I had the virus.
Teens at the International AIDS Conference in Durban say they need their own space in discussions about the virus. During the conference, they operated a radio station in which teens talked about their particular experiences. Disc jockey Beatrice Peary says teens are eager to talk to each other about AIDS, both through old and new media.
We have a lot of feedback, especially from people that are fans of Twitter. People are tweeting to us, people are coming through to our booth, people are listening in. They're like, I want to be on radio now, I want to voice out.
Simulane's mother, Lindiwe, who is also HIV positive, says parents also need help and support in working with their HIV positive children when they lash out.
So Nompumelelo took it like she understand everything, but she didn't. Because after that, she didn't drink the pills well. She calls me social workers. She wants to stay with me. So we did have that problem.
Simulane attends a teen support group, which she says helps. But she says her mother gave her the most important tool in fighting the disease, her unconditional love and support, so she does not have to fight alone. Anita Pal, VOA News, Durban, South Africa.
And now researchers have found a new HIV reservoir. Here's VOA's Jessica Berman.
The cell is called a macrophage, a part of the immune system. Macrophages are found throughout the body and tissue in the liver, lungs, bone marrow, and brain. After other immune cells have done their job of destroying foreign invaders, these large white blood cells act as the cleanup crew. They surround and clean up cellular debris, foreign substances, cancer cells, and anything else that's not essential to the functioning of healthy cells. They apparently can also harbor HIV. While antiretroviral drugs can drive the AIDS virus down to virtually undetectable levels, scientists know if therapy is interrupted, an HIV infection can come roaring back. That's because of a viral reservoir that until now has been thought mainly to inhabit immune system T cells, the cells that are attacked and destroyed by the AIDS virus. Much of research is dedicated to trying to find ways to eradicate the T cell reservoir. Now researchers are going to try to have to find ways to eliminate HIV from macrophages as well. The finding that macrophages can harbor HIV, despite treatment, is published in Nature Medicine by researchers in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the University of North Carolina. Senior author Victor Garcia says it's been known for a while that macrophages contain HIV. What's new is that persistent virus in macrophages also can reignite an infection if treatment is stopped.
Let's say that we develop a therapy that is capable of eradicating HIV out of every single T cell in the body. If you still have HIV in macrophages, then the whole infection will start again. So eradicating the virus from all the reservoirs is what will be necessary in order to be able to attain a cure for HIV/AIDS.
Investigators demonstrated in a mouse model that in the absence of humanized T cells, antiretroviral drugs could strongly suppress HIV in macrophages. But when the therapy was interrupted, the virus rebounded in one-third of the mice. Garcia does not rule out that there are additional HIV reservoirs in the body, besides macrophages and T cells, that may yet be discovered.
I think that in order to get closer to a cure, we need to identify all the possible reservoirs that can reignite infection after prolonged antiretroviral therapy. And so knowing what your enemy is actually very important in order to win the war.
The lead author of the study, Jenna Honeycutt, called the discovery paradigm-changing in the way scientists must now try to eliminate persistent infection in HIV-positive individuals. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
So this is the thing, and it is a reality. Experts, advocates, and patients alike hopes for the day the AIDS epidemic will be over, and that's the hope for everyone. VOA's Carol Pearson reports on the prospects of ending the AIDS epidemic.
Dr. Anthony Fauci has been working to end the AIDS pandemic since the 1980s, when having HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, was a death sentence. Now people with HIV can have a normal lifespan if they take their medicine as prescribed. Fauci is a world-renowned doctor at the U.S. National Institutes of Health. He says we have the tools right now to end AIDS.
What I mean is that we have extraordinarily effective drugs. But recently, those drugs have been shown over the past few years not only to save the lives of the people who take the drugs, but also to bring the level of virus in an infected person so low, below detectable level, that it makes it virtually impossible for that person to transmit the virus to someone else.
UNAIDS reports that 21 million HIV-positive people are on treatment. That's more than half of all those living with the virus. There are even drugs available to prevent those who do not have the HIV virus from getting it. But there are 16 million people infected with HIV who are not on therapy, and many of them don't know they have the disease, so they continue to spread the virus. And that's why, even with the tools we now have, Fauci doesn't see an end to AIDS.
In order to get a durable end to the epidemic, we would be greatly helped by an HIV vaccine.
A clinical trial for an AIDS vaccine took place in Thailand several years ago. That vaccine proved to be 31% effective. Compare that to the measles vaccine, which protects up to 99% of those who get vaccinated. We asked Fauci if scientists can develop an AIDS vaccine that is that good.
I don't think we're going to get there with an HIV vaccine, but even a vaccine that's 50-55, at the most 60% effective, together with the implementation of the other advances we have, I believe we could turn around the trajectory of the epidemic and essentially end it as we know it.
Another vaccine trial is taking place in South Africa. The results won't be in for a while, and there's no way of telling if it will be good enough to help bring the epidemic to an end. Meanwhile, getting more people tested, getting more people on anti-AIDS drugs, consistent use of condoms, and limiting the number of sexual partners are the tools we have at hand to reduce the spread of AIDS. Both Fauci and UNAIDS say ending AIDS is up to the global community and how much effort and money it's willing to commit towards this goal. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
It's now time for a break, but first, a brief summary of the latest health news with Imutinwan Ijiawe.
A study finds that cancerous breast lumps are likely to be detected in overweight or obese women before tumor becomes large. Experts say these women may need more frequent mammogram to help them spot early tumors, but more evidence is needed. In a UK study, women aged 50 to 70 are invited to screening every 3 years. Some women judged to be at high risk of breast cancer are already offered frequent screening. This might be a woman with a strong history of breast cancer, Being overweight also increases a woman's risk of developing breast cancer, but it is not currently considered for certain breast cancer screening. The United Nations reports remarkable progress in containing HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. In its latest report, released in advance of the World AIDS Day, UNAIDS says access to treatment has risen significantly, with 21 million HIV-positive people on treatment. That's more than half of all people living with HIV. UNAIDS reports that some 1.8 million people were currently infected with HIV in 2016, a 39% decrease from the peak of the epidemic in the late 1990s. The UN's goal is to end the pandemic by 2030. Women are being advised to sleep on their backs in the last 3 months of their pregnancy to help prevent stillbirth. A study of just 1,000 women found the risk doubled if women go to sleep on their backs in the third trimester. The study looked into 291 pregnancies that end in stillbirth, and 735 women who had live birth. Researchers can't say for certain why the risk of stillbirth is increased, but some data suggests when a woman is lying on her back, the combined weight of the baby and the womb puts pressure on the blood vessel, which can then restrict blood from flowing and oxygen to the baby. That's the health news for this hour.
And that was Imutinan Igbishjabe with the news. Now we travel to Cameroon, where VOA reporter Edwin Kinzeka takes a look at what is being done in the country to fight HIV/AIDS.
Hundreds of people have gathered here at the Yelwa Junction in northern Cameroon to listen to people living with HIV. Among the speakers is Miriam Anna, who lost her husband and 3-month-old baby 2 years ago.
Ceux qui sont dans la zone rurale, quand tu essaies même de les convaincre, plutôt la personne se dit que c'est.
She says when she tries to convince sick villagers to go with their babies for HIV screening, they argue they are bewitched by their relatives. She says she knows 3 men who died of HIV and their wives have refused to take their babies to the hospital, claiming the families are suffering from a spell. Miriam did not have prenatal care. She delivered her baby at a traditional birth attendant's home. It was only after, when she became sick, that she went to a hospital and found out she had HIV. She is now a peer educator working as part of an initiative of the Cameroonian government. In 2016, the government found 7 out of 10 women in the northern part of the country were not visiting hospitals when they were pregnant. The government reports about 1/3 of those who did go to hospitals never showed up for their postnatal visits, even if the woman had tested positive for HIV. The job of the new peer educators is to identify pregnant women in their villages and encourage them to get medical care, even reminding them of their hospital appointments. The government says since the start of the program, 7 out of 10 pregnant women identified by peer educators now visit a hospital. The results of a mother's HIV test take just a day to be known, but newborns need a special screening, and the blood work can only be processed 1,000 kilometers away in the capital Yaoundé, says Wekan Georgette, in charge of HIV control and people living with AIDS department in Cameroon's Ministry of Health.
Les échantillons partaient de l'extrême nord pour Yaoundé.
She says it takes between 6 and 7 months for the results to be brought back from Yaoundé, and that at times the results come when some of the babies are already dead. She says they also face a specific problem of women in the north not returning with their babies for the follow-up appointments for fear of stigma. The UN Children's Fund estimates that in northern Cameroon, 40% of HIV-positive children do not receive treatment. Health officials say it is important to begin regular ARV treatment as soon as possible after diagnosis. In northern Cameroon, parents can take their children to Garowa for treatment, but the medical officer in charge of the hospital, Mireille Yaki, says there is a regular shortage of drugs.
À certain moment, changement de protocole. Bon, on met un enfant sous un protocole.
She says they regularly run short of antiretrovirals, and many parents will stop bringing their children for treatment along the way. The government of Cameroon has begun trials with new testing machines to reduce the time parents have to wait for a baby's test results. While ARV treatment is provided for free, patients are requested to pay for laboratory tests. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Gidé, Cameroon.
Now to Botswana, where VOA's reporter Jessica Berman tells us about HIV/AIDS success in the country.
Botswana, with HIV infection rates of up to 25% of the adult population, has moved ahead of other countries, both Western nations and the economically disadvantaged, in tackling the AIDS epidemic. The United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS has called on countries to strive to ensure that 90% of their citizens know their HIV status and that 90% are treated with antiretroviral therapy to achieve 90% viral expression. A new report published in The Lancet HIV has found that Botswana is exceeding those goals well ahead of a 2020 deadline. Botswana has reached a viral suppression rate of 96% among its infected citizens, mostly between the ages of 15 and 49, according to Max Essex, chairman of Harvard University's T.H. Chan School of Public Health AIDS Initiative. The reason, Essex says, the middle-income country has been open to letting in international AIDS researchers and clinicians to assist in the fight. Botswana also started the battle early in 2001 with a goal of testing high-risk populations and making sure anti-AIDS drugs were available to people who needed them, even in remote villages.
So you can't say it can't be done, even in sub-Saharan Africa, where people have very high rates of infection and where there's not a large pre-existing number of physician, AIDS specialists, and that sort of thing.
Countries in the West, according to Essex, are lagging behind Botswana in the fight to suppress the virus that causes AIDS, reaching anywhere from 60% of their HIV-infected citizens in Europe to just 30% in the United States. In the absence of a cure for AIDS, Essex says the UN estimates that suppression of the virus through identification and treatment could result in a dramatic drop in HIV transmission rates.
In the way that the World Health Organization set up those goals, they stated that if all countries or the world could reach those guidelines by 2020, then within 10 years of that, rates of new infections should go down by 90% in the world.
Botswana's experience seems to show the validity of that approach, and Essex says he's optimistic that other countries will eventually catch up to it.
I think it will certainly take a lot of other countries considerably longer, but I have no doubt that most countries can reach those goals if they really want to, and I certainly hope they want to.
The hope continues for researchers to find an effective HIV vaccine to halt transmission. Without that, Essex says, reaching as many infected people as possible and treating them with antiretroviral drugs offers the best hope of stopping the spread of the virus. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bunganyan.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to Health Chat, and I'm your host, Lenore Moudou. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are looking at the HIV/AIDS epidemic in light of the upcoming World AIDS Day. We are going to take a short break for more. Don't go away.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bunganyan in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, let's be upfront.
There's a lot to talk about.
We need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
Upfront is a show where we look at issues that affect Africa's youth,
giving you an opportunity to express yourself as you connect with other youth around the continent.
In this interconnected world, we share a destiny. So let us share our solutions to issues like unemployment,
education reform,
elections,
free speech,
and many others.
Nothing is off the table.
Nothing is off the table.
Absolutely nothing is off the table.
It's Upfront, Wednesdays at 1730 UTC, Saturday at 1900 UTC,
and Sunday at 1930 UTC,
right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And you are listening to Health Chat, and that's all the time we have for this edition of the show. For more on today's topic, HIV/AIDS, log on to our website at voanews.com/healthchat. You can also join the conversation on facebook.com/healthchat and give us your opinions, your questions and comments about what we discussed today or any other topic that you would like us to elaborate on. And if you have some questions for our expert, we will be happy to share answers. So I am your host, Lenore Moudou in Washington, with producer Jackson Bunganyi and Imutinyuan Ijabe with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.